Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show Network. I'm Robert Rogers, the founder of Parkinson's Recovery in 2004. Parkinson's Recovery is dedicated and focused on finding and identifying all sorts of natural options that are helping individuals currently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease to find ways to reverse those symptoms, of course, as well as their family members. Our audience is global. People from countries across the globe are now connecting in to find out about the new and exciting resources and opportunities that are available for finding relief from whatever symptoms they might currently be experiencing. My guest today, I'm excited to report, is Willem Visser, who is a cranial sacral therapist from the Netherlands, who thankfully currently is living in Portland, Oregon, USA. And Portland, thankfully, is just down the road, about an hour from Olympia, Washington. So we are actually now new neighbors. Willem, thank you so much for taking the time today to be on the radio show.
Thank you very much, Robert, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm very excited about it.
Tell us all about yourself.
So as you just mentioned, I am originally from the Netherlands. I grew up in the northern part of the Netherlands, the Frisian part. And I'm a craniosacral therapist and a coach, and I also write a lot about health and spirituality on my weblog and website. And I have a family with two small kids, one boy, Foyland, 4 years old, and a girl, 6 years old. And we just recently, like you mentioned, we moved from Amsterdam to Portland. So that's about it.
Many members of the Parkinson's recovery audience have discovered cranial sacral therapy and have been reporting wonderful results for that. So you really are a person who can speak to that as a therapy specifically to address symptoms of Parkinson's. How did you come in contact with Parkinson's?
So, yeah, I had myself, when I was growing up, I had two grandparents from both sides of the family who were suffering from Parkinson's. So my father's father, he was the first one to say it. And when I was a young boy, I was like 6 or 7, he had a stroke. And then after that, it came out that he had Parkinson's. So, and he had a very kind of typical, all the symptoms that you think people with Parkinson's have. It started with tremors and started with difficulties of putting his clothes on and difficulties with eating. And so, because we were very close to our grandparents, we would always be around. So I saw my grandmother dealing with her husband having Parkinson's. And at some stage, she could not take care of him anymore. So he went to a special home for elderly people in the Netherlands, where they could treat him better. And so we saw him going from worse to worse. And so that's been when I was a little boy, basically like 8 or 10 years, we were always going to visit my grandfather, and we would always see a lot of elderly people with a lot of aging illnesses. And I also saw my grandfather gradually, his situation was worsening until in the end, I think he passed away when he had like a fever. So, and then when I was like a teenager, my grandmother, who was the mother of my mother, she was also diagnosed with Parkinson's. So, and she had a kind of she had different symptoms than my grandfather. for her it was it would be a bit less visible to me that she also had Parkinson's. But she also definitely had a lot of the symptoms that come with Parkinson's. And at the time, I didn't know about the different kinds of Parkinson's disease that are out there. But she had a different form, at least, than my grandfather had. But yeah, in the end, as well, she passed also away, also to another, like a fever kind of illness in the end. But I mean, it was definitely also because of the Parkinson that came with it, yeah. So I kind of came into contact with Parkinson the hard way. And then later when I started becoming interested in craniosacral therapy and I started craniosacral therapy, then it was quite natural for me to see, like, hey, what can craniosacral therapy actually do for Parkinson's?
So why can craniosacral therapy be a good complementary therapy for treating Parkinson's symptoms?
Yes, so for a different range of reasons. So the first one, the most important one, is that craniosacral therapy is a very gentle therapy for anyone who doesn't know it, that really works with touch and very gentle touch, and you make contact with the client's body, and in specific you make contact with the rhythmic movement of the fluids that go through the spine and through the brain. The brain, which is the so-called cerebrospinal fluid, and that's also the fluid that. So, if you look at it theoretically, why craniosacral therapy already would be very good for aging people is that cranio makes sure that there is a better flow through of the fluids through the brain, and also cleans all the brain tissues and all the brain fluid. So already if you can make an improvement in the flow through of this fluid, then that already would have a very positive impact on someone who has Parkinson or someone who is aging. So, but next to that, with craniosacral therapy, you also can go further. You can also work specifically on parts of the brain, make contact with them, and that's a bit more sophisticated. So, just like some, for example, if I as a therapist, I treat someone and I put my hands on someone, on like an organ, like the heart, I can make contact with that organ if we really get into like a meditative state, where the connection is really strong between the client and the patient. You can really make contact with tissue and you can feel what is going on in the tissue, like a heart. You can feel emotions. You can feel if there's anger or pain, and then you can make contact with it. And then you can see if you can heal there. But the same thing you can also do in tissues like the brain. You can actually very detailed, you can make contact with different parts of the brain, like the prefrontal cortex or like the cerebellum, all the different parts of the brain you can make contact with. Even very detailed parts, like very small parts of the brain, like the amygdalas, you can actually make contact with. And also there you can make sure, see what is going on, if there's damage, and if you can do healing there. So especially for Parkinson, my idea is that you also can make specific contact with the parts of the brain that are damaged by in people who are suffering from Parkinson. So like, and then that's especially the parts of the brain that make the dopamine cells, so the substantia nigra parts of the brain. So, and then the last reason why cranio is also very good for people who are suffering from Parkinson's is that in my perception of craniosacral therapy, everyone can learn craniosacral therapy. It's not like magic. Everyone can learn it. So also people who are supporting people who have Parkinson's, they also can do like a basic course of craniosacral therapy, and they would already be able to practice that to the people who are suffering from Parkinson's.
To clarify then for members of the listening audience that are not familiar with craniosacral therapy, by your description, it's very different then from deep tissue massage. Would that be right?
Yes. So while a tissue massage is still really working on the tissue which is under it and really has like a physical touch, cranio much more has a much more gentle touch, and you make it's much more like establishing contact on like a cell level. That makes sense, that explanation for you, yeah?
Yes, indeed. And members of the listening audience are familiar with deep brain stimulation, where holes are basically drilled into the brain and a little element is placed down into the substantia nigra. So they know that you can contact the brain that way. Well, tell everybody how you make contact with the brain using craniosacral therapy.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So the way you make contact in the craniosacral therapy way, that's a very meditative way. It's very much about intuition and awareness, and like the person who practices cranio gets into a meditative state, but also the person who's the client gets into a meditative state. So then you can very detailed, you can make contact with the brain. And my teacher in craniosacral therapy is Etienne Peersman, and he works a lot with, he has this special modules which are brain modules, where he really goes into the different parts of the brain. So I also have done these modules and have learned how to work with them. And basically he's like a student of Appletcher, who's like one of the big persons who did a lot of research and made craniosacral therapy very big, especially in the USA. And Appletcher has one of his famous books is Cell Talk. And in that book, he actually describes that on a cell level, you actually can make contact from the outside with someone, and then you can actually talk to different parts of the body, but you even can talk to cells on an individual level. So, and if you translate that to the brain, you actually also could make contact to the brain cells. So you also could make contact with the parts of the brain cells, the substantia nigra, that are damaged for Parkinson patients. And to establish that connection, I mean, that's not like a 1, 2, 3 thing that's very easy, but definitely the potential is there definitely to establish that contact. Yeah.
You're listening to Parkinson's Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Robert Rogers, and my guest is Willem Weiser. So, William, why then, given this quite amazing explanation of craniosacral therapy, is it not used more for treating Parkinson's?
Yeah, so one of the main reasons, and in the Netherlands I also have contacted like patient groups that are supporting people who have Parkinson's or also other diseases like Alzheimer's, and I've contacted them, but especially in the Netherlands, where the regular medicine is very strong, the patient groups, even if I would give like a presentation to an introduction and talk about the possibilities of craniosacral therapy, they are very reluctant towards it because there is no scientific proof yet for craniosacral therapy for Parkinson's. So that's one of the major reasons I would say why it's not so so much used yet for Parkinson's. And I know in the U.S. there are some people who are really working to make craniosacral therapy more popular or more widely known as a therapy that can be used. Especially I know the doctor Michael Morgan, who works a lot with people with Alzheimer's. So he's making that, trying to make that really popular to use craniosacral therapy for people who are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's. So, and I know Parkinson's is different than Alzheimer's, but in some way it's also a form of dementia. That's called a bit wide, but I mean, for me, I think there's the same potential as well for Parkinson's to use craniosacral therapy.
Well, and why then is scientific evidence still so very thin when it comes to examining craniosacral therapy for Parkinson's?
Yes, that's a good question. So, one of the main reasons it's very difficult to make a good scientific setup to prove. To prove that craniosacral therapy works, and the major reason is that if you want to scientifically prove if a therapy works, then you have to follow the procedures that regular medicine are how they are proven, and these days they expect that like medicine are proven in like a double, so to kind of prevent that there's something like a placebo effect going on. And for something like craniosacral therapy and a lot of other complementary therapies as well, it's very difficult to make that double-blind testing setup, because how are you going to give like someone like a fake craniosacral therapy session? That's very difficult. Or how are you going to do the blind testing? That's you cannot give someone like saying to someone like yeah, I give you craniosacral therapy, but you're actually doing something different, and then you kind of test the placebo effects. I mean, that's very difficult. So although there have been some preliminary studies. You are actually the one who did the research in Portland with Parkinson's patients as well. I saw online, and it's a very exciting study. But for the rest, there has not been done a lot of studies about craniosacral therapy and Parkinson's in specific. Yeah.
Well, what a fascinating response, Willem. I know. In the medical industry, there is actually a study when you look at the effects of deep brain stimulation of drilling holes in people's brains, but nothing was done to them. There was some considerable dispute
yeah.
about the ethics of that. So even in medical science, there are some struggles with figuring out how to design those kind of studies that you described so eloquently when it comes to cranial sacral. You've studied the research of Aubrey the Gray, who went to work on preventing aging. Can you tell us more about Aubrey de Gray's ideas? They sound quite fascinating.
Yeah, so Aubrey de Gray is a very fascinating man. So he's like a computer engineer, and kind of by accident, I think through his partner, he kind of came into contact with medical science, and then especially with with biomedical studies, and he got he then became, for some reason, he became interested in the part of aging, like how do people age and what is the reasoning behind that. And because he was kind of like someone like an outsider, quite a brilliant mind, actually, a very smart guy. And he looked at it from like a much more like engineering process. He didn't, instead of looking at to the all the illnesses that come with aging, he looked especially to what causes aging and how can we prevent it. So instead of looking to so what he really focused on that. And by focusing on that, he found like seven reasons that actually cause aging. And his goal is actually to come with solutions to stop aging. And his main goal in the end is to be able that people can live much longer. And his goal is even that people can live to be like 200 or 300 years old. And that's why he set up this foundation called the Methusalem Foundation. And so why I'm much more from a holistic perspective. So I'm not so interested in becoming 300 or 400 years old, but I really like his approach of his outside approach of how to tackle aging. So that's very interesting.
So he has a foundation called Metaluso. Can you spell that for the listening audience?
So his foundation is called Methusalem, about the biblical figure that becomes is very old in the Old Testament. And he put up a foundation which is also called Methusalem, but I think on the internet you could find him under Sense, and that is S-E-N-S, sense.org, I think. And there he put up, he's getting a lot of funding, for example, from Peter Thiel, from PayPal, and a lot of people are funding him to come up with these solutions so that people get very old, basically. Yeah.
That's really, really fascinating, Willem. And I want to spell his name for our listening audience if they want to do some other searches about him. It's Aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y, and then D-E, and then G-R-E-Y. So how does Aubrey de Grey want to cure or prevent Parkinson's? What are his ideas about that?
Yes. So he basically sees Parkinson's and other illnesses, even like cancer. He sees that like as a pathological thing, and that the thing that causes Parkinson in his idea is because the cells is because of cell loss or cell atrophy. So I mean, as you know, and that's a very simple definition, but that's how he works. He says like Parkinson is basically caused because the cells that produce dopamine are gone, or they are the tissue is damaged there. So, and he also says like everyone who's aging actually already has cell loss, already has less cells that are producing dopamine. So even you or me, even though we don't have Parkinson's disease, we already have as well less cells that produce dopamine. And his solution to to that cause that there are less cells, or the tissue is damaged in the brain there, is very simple in some way. I mean, again, he thinks very irrational. Is he wants to replace the damaged tissue with stem cells. So, and the brain, of course, is very sensitive to outside tissue. So, while, for example, if you have like a kidney transplantation, then you can have like a kidney from a different person. But if you would have brain tissue from someone else, then there's a very big chance, big risk, that there is a very strong immune reaction, which is actually much more dangerous. So to prevent that, his idea is that they use like embryonical stem cells, which are kind of cells where the nucleus of the client still stays in the cells, but the rest of the cells is stripped, and then you use a different egg cell, which also contains the nucleus of the client, and if you get them together to multiply, then you have embryonical stem cells with the nucleus of the patient, and if you would put them in the brain tissue, then you would be able to have the stem cells multiply in the brain tissue that's damaged, and actually then it would be that the brain tissue again is multiplying there again with the cells that are needed in that part of the brain tissue. And actually there's already done some preliminary scientific research with people where they have, with people who had a stroke and with brain tissue damage, they already put in embryonic stem cells. The results in that research were actually pretty good. Like 5 out of the 9 people actually had the brain tissue started to grow again after they got the stem cells. So in Aubrey de Grey's mind, the future would be to use embryonic stem cells to repair damaged tissue, and that includes also the damaged brain tissue for Parkinson's patients. Yeah.
Willem, what plans do you have in the future regarding Parkinson's?
So, regarding Parkinson's, I still would like to work much more with people with Parkinson's and get some more hands-on experience with clients that have Parkinson's in the Netherlands. I had a few people with Parkinson's, but I would love to work more with people on that. Next to that, I would also love to give trainings or courses to people who have family or friends or who are working with Parkinson's people, to give them like a basic craniosacral therapy course. And with only a basic cranial course, I think you already can give a lot of support. I mean, it's not directly about healing Parkinson's, but it's a very good complementary treatment to already improve the life of people. So, and I think everyone can learn that, and I would love to give some more courses for people in that. And yeah, next to that, I would also love to work on a medical proof or on scientific work with Parkinson's and craniosacral therapy.
Willem, if people were interested in getting in touch with you, you are currently located in Portland, Oregon, USA. How do they go about doing that?
So they could go to my website, which is www.energyisflowing.nl, and there's also an English section on that website. So my website is still in Dutch, but there's still an English section. And the other way is they also could send me an email. And my email address for that is energyisflowing@gmail.com.
And so for listeners, that website is the word energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, and then the word is, I-S, and then the word flowing, F-L-O-W-I-N-G. And then again, the email is at gmail.com. So, William, in closing from this quite fascinating introduction and discussion of cranial sacral therapy and other discoveries with regard to treatments for Parkinson's, what would you like for listeners to be sure and remember a week from now after listening to this program? What's the take-home point for listeners as far as you're concerned?
That's a good question. So, what I really would like to take home for the listeners is that they can look in their neighborhood if there's any craniosacral therapist around, or they can look. It would already be great if there's more awareness to craniosacral therapy. So I would love it if people would do some more research on it and how could it help them. And so that would already be great if that people get it out of it. And I think again that craniosacral therapy can be a very good complementary treatment for people with Parkinson's. So I really believe in next to doing sports, movement, doing meditation, and having a healthy diet, craniosacral therapy also could be a great benefit to improve the life of people with Parkinson's. Yeah.
Willem Visser, thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest on the radio show today and explain and introduce this therapy that you have discovered and other individuals have discovered as helping people find relief from the symptoms that they experience associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Thanks so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. It was a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you very much.
And that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all of the women are smart, all of the men are, of course, handsome, and all of the children are truly and genuinely loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you have been listening to this remarkable and amazing and informative interview with Willem Visser, that you indeed are journeying down the road to recovery. Thanks so much for joining us here at Parkinson's Recovery. We look forward to connecting with you during our next radio show interview coming up soon. Thanks so much for being here with us today.